Many people, new on the journey to a more peaceful way of being with their horses, are sometimes confused or frustrated in the beginning and will find themselves questioning or judging everything they did or do with their horse and are not sure what they can or should do now because they don't know if it is still peaceful or horse-friendly what they do. Especially riding is in question. And that is completely normal. The best thing you can do is telling yourself you want to write a completely new story, a new beginning. And that means the peaceful way starts with you first, to become more patient and peaceful with yourself and not to set yourself under pressure that everything needs to be perfect from now on. You're allowed to make mistakes. Start slowly and really feel deep into it, what your gut tells you, and also try to feel into it how you'd feel if you were your horse. But before we start, I would like to briefly introduce myself. My name is Britta and I'm a counselor and coach for peaceful communication between people and horses and people and people, and I accompany sensitive horse owners on their journey to a peaceful togetherness with their horse, where they can also learn how they can help traumatized horses to heal. I'm super happy that you're listening to this podcast episode and I hope you will find it interesting. As with all transformations, we leave something old behind. Of course, when we let go of old behaviors, thoughts, or feelings, we sometimes worry that maybe nothing new will come and replace it, or we wonder what this new could be and we feel insecure and alone. But I would say just continue your journey, even with a fear of losing something, because time will bring you the answer. When it came the time for me to answer the question if I should prepare my horse for riding, I was just not sure how I should feel about that and was going back and forth. But at some point, I decided to be gentle with myself and allowed me to be confused and unsure. And I started to try things out and I read and I researched a lot and then I went with my gut feeling. When I now tell the story how and what I decided, this is by no means something that I suggest that you should do or that it should be done like that. I just tell the story of how I created my own peaceful way, just as you will create your own, with your horse, as every human horse pair is different. So then, how did that journey go for me? When my horse turned 3, people were starting to ask me if I already backed or started her. At that time, this was easy to answer. I just told people about new research and that it is not good for the horse to be ridden too early and that newer studies suggest it's best to wait until the horse is at least 5 or 6 to start them, as their growth plates are not yet fused. And also that it's possible that it can sprain their backs when ridden too early, which means displacing the vertebral growth plates. And these growth plates are the ones that close last. Therefore, I said, I will not ride my horse before it turns 5 or 6. But then, when my horse turned 5 and then 6, I had to find my very own way to answer this question. An answer that worked for both of us and that feels right for me. So before I talk about the arguments for or against riding, like for example that horses are bred for riding and that they need a job or that they enjoy being ridden, which are all valid arguments that will be interesting to discuss, I would like to talk about how I personally answered that question for me and my horse. When you ask me, do you like riding? I would say, of course, what a question. I have the best memories of cantering over fields and riding through the woods, jumping over small logs and having little races with friends to see which horse is faster. Laughter and fun. So yes, thinking about not riding seemed to be like giving something up that I really, really enjoyed. And therefore, I put the decision if I should ride my horse off for as long as possible. Because deep in me, I started to question if it was as much fun and healthy for my horse as it was for me. So I asked myself the question, how would I feel if someone put a bit into my mouth, would get on my back, and I would have to carry that person, or any weight, around. Would that be fun in itself? The answer was easy and a clear no. Then I thought, maybe That's just me, and horses think differently, so I asked my horse. We have an area where I can stand on a big log and groom her, so I started to put my foot over her back and she was okay. Yay! Then I started to put slightly weight on her back and then she moved away. Okay, that must have been a coincidence. So I repeated it on another day, maybe she was not serious about it. She moved away again and again, like every time. Bummer. But honestly, I get it. Why should she like it? She doesn't know that she was bred for it. She wants to save the energy she has in case she needs it for an emergency. But maybe it is only because she doesn't know what she's missing. That she doesn't know what we could do, for example, canter happily on trails or jump over logs with me on her back. Do I deprive her of anything? Wonderful experiences, fun, cantering together with other horses, enough movement. Well, it depends. How does she live? If my horse would live mainly in a stall or in a small paddock, then she would not have these experiences. But if she would live on 30 acres with a herd, she could do all that without me on her back. Yes, that is unfortunately not the case for most horses, but my horse, luckily, has a trail system and friends and enrichment, so doesn't need the trail rides for movement, fun or companionship. Okay, but what does her no mean for me? After all, I decided to have a horse, to have great experiences and to have fun. Should I simply click her no away? She's very cooperative and interested in interaction, so it would likely work with some time. But then, is this in line with my values? To condition a no away that is not health or safety related? I already answered this question for me before, and the answer was always no, I wouldn't do that. So what should I do? So I went through the steps of the language of life concept, the nonviolent communication part of our relationship, and asked myself, how does her no make me feel? Sad and disappointed. What need is behind that feeling? It's freedom, adventures, togetherness. And then I asked myself, what other possibilities do I have to fulfill these needs? And I found many things. Activities I do by myself or together with other people, like traveling or many other things you can do with a horse. For example, she loves to go on walks with me or we play around in our trail system where she often canters, jumps or plays around with me and I jump around with her. So there's so much we can do that makes me feel free and happy. And I discovered that I feel even more connected with her now than I ever felt when I was on the back of a horse. And she really likes to do those things with me without extrinsic reinforcement. I honestly think that horses are even more interested in us when they have a choice and the ideal environment. What now is with the argument that horses need a job? And many people also say that their horses love their jobs, especially being ridden. This is an interesting argument, and I understand how people come to this conclusion. In my mind, as someone who studied evolutionary connections and society intensively, this is an argument that comes right from within our way of modern thinking in our Western society. The concept of work or a job is relatively new when you consider that the Homo sapiens sapiens is almost 200,000 years old. Even indigenous societies that remain until today and have not been in contact with the so-called modern human don't have this concept. All our ancestors did were things they needed to survive, like getting water, cook, gather, hunt, or to produce some form of clothing or housing to protect them from the elements. They lived in small communities of maybe 30 people, and yes, of course, they also did things for fun, but they didn't work or had a job like we define it today. Of course, they helped and supported others in their tribe, but next time the other person returned the favor with something else and everything was fine. Also, horses don't have that concept of a job or work that other horses ask them to do for them. They are naturally cooperative in their herd and will usually try to do what you ask, but they are also energy saver. So would usually only do something in order to survive or something they enjoy. And yes, horses, like we, like to be in the seeking mode. They want to discover, they want to investigate, and they enjoy learning new things. That's how we develop. But they don't have the human concept of a job. They don't feel satisfied by winning a race or a ribbon. They are not proud when they wear the newest blanket. All they want is to move away from something that is dangerous or stressful and towards things they enjoy. And they tell us what that is if we listen. And yes, some horses might have the desire to move in a certain way, since they were bred for a specific sport, like for example racing, dressage, cutting and so on. Yet, at the end of the day, they're still horses. And all horses need stimuli to be in the seeking mode. They need to move and they need interaction and they enjoy activities and fun stuff to do. They like to discover and learn new things. They like to go out for a walk, to maybe find certain herbs or new places. They also like making decisions just as they would if they would live in the wild, in freedom, be it when they want to eat, sleep, or do social grooming with other horses. But they don't need a job in that sense and can enjoy their lives very much without being ridden. That means we can fulfill all their needs easily without riding. Also, we can fulfill all our needs without riding. And only because we allow a horse to say no to riding doesn't mean that we can do less with our horse. Maybe in the beginning because we might not yet have ideas what to do, or even that our horse might not be as interested in doing things with us for a while when it discovers it has now the freedom to choose. But changes need time. Allow you and your horse to take all the time you both need. You can bridge that time with just spending time together or taking your horse for a walk. The best thing you can do during that time is to find a place where the horse has a lot of space, equine friends, and 24/7 access to forage so that you don't have to worry about enough movement and can fully concentrate on your relationship and building trust with each other. However, the less we can offer our horse a self-determined life, for example, when we keep it in a stall or a smaller paddock by itself with fixed feeding times, the more pressure we will feel to make sure our horse has enough movement, outside stimuli, and something to think about. Because in that situation, the horse cannot make decisions. It can't decide when it wants to eat or when it wants to do social grooming, as they don't have contact with other horses. Then, of course, a horse is happy to see the human to free it from isolation and boredom, and might be even more willing to do something that it doesn't enjoy, as this is still better than isolation and loneliness, which in turn will not help the relationship to grow, as it comes from a place of neediness and is not offered voluntarily. Now, one question is still left, which is, why does it seem so that our horse enjoys being ridden? That seems to contradict studies that suggest that it is mostly a matter of time and how the horse is ridden until inevitably damage and pain will occur. If our horse didn't like to be ridden or were even in pain, why would it still stand quietly when being saddled, and why would it do all the exercises we ask? And why would even a horse that has enough movement, when it is, for example, out on 100 acres pasture with a herd, still allow us to ride it, if it wouldn't enjoy it? I agree, that seems to contradict studies, and that it looks like the horse is okay with or even likes being ridden. However, I have never heard of a horse that actively asked to be ridden when allowed to say no. And there are more and more studies done today that show that horses often experience discomfort or even pain when being ridden, especially when started young, when being ridden daily or over longer periods of time, which means longer than 15 minutes a day, or when the rider or tack is too heavy. And heavy means the rider and tack weighs more than 10 to 15% of the horse's weight. Interestingly, These studies found that the level of damage that was done to bones and joints doesn't always predict if the horse allows to be ridden. Why would that be? There are many reasons that could explain why a horse would not object or communicate discomfort when being saddled or ridden. One reason is that horses are conditioned to be ridden from a very young age. Many horses are already ridden when they are 2 or 3, when they are easier to control and subdue. So they think this is how it is or it should be. And the second reason is that during riding, the horse's body releases substances such as adrenaline or noradrenaline. The body's ability to feel pain decreases as a result of adrenaline, which is why we can, for example, continue running from or fighting danger even when we are injured. Adrenaline also causes a noticeable increase in strength and performance, as well as heightened awareness in stressful times. Noradrenaline also inhibits acute pain. The third reason why horses would allow riding when in pain is that horses usually know very well that humans will ask again and again for what they want. Although a temporary no might be accepted by some horse trainers in the moment, and maybe in the best case followed up by a vet, it is usually not a long-term option to say no for horses, and horses know that very well. And another reason is that most horses are naturally very willing and highly developed to cooperate, especially when they have established a bond with a human. Others are strongly dominated and try to avoid conflicts at any cost. Also, another reason when, as these studies suggest, there is no correlation between back pain and a horse's apparent willingness to be ridden, the rider will continue as usual and the horse will enter a state of learned helplessness. Horses rarely, if ever, show pain or discomfort directly. They endure their suffering silently. As prey animals, it's critical for survival to not show pain and to hide their vulnerability from the predator. And also, they do everything to avoid conflicts. They have learned that humans will ask until they submit to their will. That's because we have conditioned our horses to more stressful consequences when they do fight back, and they also try to please and cooperate by nature. And the few horses that do not comply are often broken with harder methods, with harsher, more intrusive instruments, and a few are sent to their final destination. And when you think about it, no horse has to be ridden to be healthy and happy. On the contrary, I have found so many other fun ways to be with horses, wonderful feelings that fulfill all my needs and theirs included. If we understand and see horses as they are, we can learn so much from them. All we have to do is to become quiet, let them speak, open our hearts, and to be open for the things they can teach us about them and about us. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast episode. I know this is a very controversial topic, and it took me years to find an answer for myself and for my horse. I also rode a lot, so I totally get it that this is very, very hard to let go of as a horse owner. And if you ride, it also, of course, makes a difference on how. For example, if you ride bitless, mostly on trails, and your weight in relation to your horse's weight. And as I said, I just talked about my own experiences and conclusions. And if yours are different than mine, that is absolutely okay. Everybody is on his or her own journey. And I'm still super happy if you can maybe take some of the ideas with you. But if you started to be more and more intrigued, I'd like to invite you to visit my website peopleandhorsesinoneword.com or my Facebook, Instagram or Twitter account for more info. And please let me know if you would like the links to studies about the effects of riding horses. I'm very happy to send them to you. Have a wonderful day with your horse.